Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Well, we got lots to get to this hour. We'll get to Apple. Hey, we'll get to retail sales. It looks like there's a rise. We'll figure out why. And we'll get to robocalls and more. Hey, the Manafort trial. Anybody interested? As soon as you say Manafort trial, everybody goes, it's amazing how absolutely nobody has any interest in this Manafort trial. Even Mueller himself. And God knows what he's up to with all this. Even he must be a little shocked when he picks up the paper, watches TV, and sees very little coverage. Although he's probably a CNN watcher or an MSNBC watcher where there's a little more coverage. But to normal people, they have paid no attention to this trial. It means nothing to anybody. It has nothing to do with Donald Trump. It has nothing to do with the 2016 campaign. It's about some bank fraud, wire fraud charges from years ago. But it's over. The prosecution rested after 2 weeks of presenting endless evidence. And I mean, it made Manafort look pretty guilty. I mean, it was all kinds of documentation, paper trail, digital trail. I mean, they pretty much made their case. Then it came to Manafort and his defense. And yesterday he said no defense. He would not present a defense. Now, there's a couple of reasons you do that. One is if you think that they had no case at all. They didn't have any case. There's no way you're going to get convicted on this. You don't present a defense. Because if the case is that bad, just let that go to the jury. They'll reject it. Now, I don't think that was the case here. It was a pretty open and shut case. I mean, they had all kinds of documentation. But the other thing is, if it looks like a really strong case and you have not a decent counter argument, if you really can't fight anything they've presented, since sometimes in those cases, you don't present a defense because there's nothing you could say that'll help you. And you open yourself up. There's great risk if you present a defense because if you put anybody on the stand, who knows what could happen. So as bad as it might look, you just don't want to make it worse. So and sometimes it's psychological with the jury. If you didn't even bother to present a defense, you're making it look like they had no case. And you'll say that in your closing argument, although that won't always work. Problem is the trial's in Virginia. I know, Virginia, you're picturing the Andy Griffith Show. No, no, no. This is outside of Washington, D.C. It's a pretty liberal, democratic sort of area. And over the last 20 years, that part of Virginia, especially that, what's that big highway going right into Washington, those suburbs, that's all tech stuff. AOL had their headquarters there. A lot of tech industry. It means a lot of liberals and Democrats that could be on that jury. So we'll see what happens. If he is convicted, he's got a shot of overturning it on appeal. And the other thing is he's got a second trial coming in Washington, D.C. in a week or two. So there's more of this Manafort stuff. I don't know what Mueller hopes to accomplish with this. There's absolutely, it has nothing to do with Trump, no connection to the campaign. You might have originally thought, well, he's squeezing Manafort, trying to get him to give him dirt on Trump. He hasn't got any dirt on Trump. There isn't any dirt. If he had it, he would have given it to you a year ago. He wouldn't have put himself through this. He wouldn't have bankrupted himself with attorneys, wouldn't have spent months in solitary. He would have given you whatever he had if he had it. He hasn't got it. So who knows what will happen after that. He's presenting the closing arguments today. What's today, Wednesday? So by Friday, it should be all over and go to the jury. You probably have a quick decision in that case. Have you been getting more robocalls than ever? Of course you have. It's been unbearable for the last few months. Now, one of the reasons is you got elections, primaries, campaigns. That's a big source of robocalls. But even without that, you get these robocalls, and it's always about a timeshare, about a resort, about something. But you remember Chuck Schumer's do not call list? Chuck Schumer, the most useless bureaucrat of all. Unless you're a lobbyist, then he's very useful. But if you're a voter, useless guy. The most useless guy in Washington, Chuck Schumer. He's like a big-time Richard Blumenthal. But Connecticut, you've got your own Chuck Schumer growing there, this Richard Blumenthal. Two real swamp snake bureaucrats. But remember Schumer promoting his do not call list 10 years ago? Just sign up for this do not call list and all your troubles will be over. It was supposed to be legislation that would stop all this. And there was that do not call list. You remember? You put your phone number on there. You put your cell number. You put everything on there. Well, their explanation is that the technology kept advancing so fast that they were able to overcome the do not call list. For instance, one of the things they did, all these telemarketing things, all these robocall things, they moved the operations overseas where they didn't have to honor the do not call list. They got all these explanations of why it didn't work, why they couldn't keep up with the developments in technology. So Schumer now working on new legislation, backing new legislation to stop all these robocalls. It won't work. And if you're thinking, I'm getting more than ever, you're not wrong. It has exploded in the last few years. In the past year, 16 billion robocalls. 16 billion. And it gets more and more sophisticated. You'll notice now the robocalls, I don't know how they do this, but they make it look like it's almost your phone number. It's the same area code, the same exchange. It's like one or two digits away from your phone number. And I don't know, what is that supposed to do psychologically? If it looks like it's almost close to your phone number, is it supposed to fool you into thinking it's you? I mean, what is that supposed to make you think? It's so close to my number, it must be somebody living near me. Why would that make you answer any faster? One of the things you have to remember, these phone companies are in on it. There's probably ways they could crack that. You could figure out who's the robocallers from their activity and shut it down. But the phone companies get money from these robocall places. If they're making 200,000 calls a day, it helps the phone company. They have to have accounts to do that. And I'm sure there's some way that they charge these robocall companies for that. So forget the do not call list. There's not much you can do about it. I don't know. I mean, best thing is don't answer. It'll happen. You can try blocking the numbers. You know, if you have an iPhone, you can block the number. But you'll end up blocking 50 numbers a week. And then they just keep finding new numbers. So I don't know what you're going to do about it. Hey, we're talking about Apple. We'll get into this a little later on, too. Apple is meeting privately with all these developers. They want to change things. They want every app to be a subscription model. You know, certain apps are subscription, where you pay a monthly thing. And then you get that notice from Apple every so often. You got two subscriptions expiring this month for renewal. And then you have to make sure they're not on auto-renewal in case you want to stop them. But they have been quietly meeting with all the app developers. They'd like everybody to go on a subscription basis. Now, why is that? Because you'll notice the money is collected by Apple in the App Store. They use your iTunes account. So I imagine Apple gets a little fee off that subscription, like American Express or MasterCharge. They probably get 3% or 5% of the... So they're trying to quietly move everybody to a subscription. So pretty soon, you got all these apps on your phone. Your phone will be like your cable box. Somehow that phone is $160 a month for all the different channels. It'll be just like cable. And that'll cause people to really choose carefully what apps they put on their phone. Hey, and Twitter cracking down on Alex Jones. You know, he got thrown off Facebook. He got thrown off everything except Twitter stood by him. They said, we're not going to block him. Now they're blocking him. They're claiming one of his videos violated some terms. So at some point, the government's going to have to get involved in this. Nobody's defending Alex Jones. And as nutty as he sounds, he's not as nutty as a lot of people on Twitter. And there's plenty of, the argument is they're not deleting left-wing groups from Facebook and Twitter as fast as they are right-wing groups. There is shadow banning of conservative voices. Facebook claims they're now going after left-wing groups, but nobody really sees it. One thing about all these tech companies, whether it's Apple or Facebook or Google, all the big tech companies, they've escaped three things that every business suffers from. One is a ton of government regulation. The other is unions. And what's the third? I forgot. I'm like, what's his name? Rick Perry in the debate. But you know what I mean. There's like three the big things that cripple every business. All the union costs, all the government regulation, all that stuff. They haven't been subject to it. They're inviting government regulation now. And where are all you unions on Apple and Google and all that? You've left them alone. Anyway, we'll talk more about that a little later with a business expert. Now, the Les Moonves story. What's going on with Les Moonves? It looked like it went away. It's disappeared from the news. He's going to try to get through this. It's different from Charlie Rose. When Charlie Rose got caught, you know, who needs Charlie Rose? You just get somebody else. You know, he's a tired, old-looking guy. You can find a better anchor. They didn't need to hang on to Charlie Rose. But Les Moonves, that's a different case. Love him or hate him, he's been brilliant as the CEO of CBS. He has made them billions and billions and billions of dollars. He's the reason that stock is so high. So that's a fortune to get rid of him. CBS may never recover from that. So they're trying to hang on to him. And the board of directors made a lot of money off him. They were trying to hang on to him. Also, that board is loaded with his cronies and buddies. So they're trying to get through this. They've said they'll conduct an investigation. They brought in Mary Jo White, who a lot of people don't think is the right person for this. And we'll probably get them the result they want. So, and they'll also stall that. They'll have the investigation take 6 months, 8 months. It's a stalling tactic. But a lot of people think there'll just be too much pressure. More women will come forward. Now, it turns out one of the accusers is about to write a book with details of Moonves, so that won't help. Although she better write fast. It takes a long time to get a book out. And she was, at one time, the wife of John Peters. Remember here, John Peters and Goober and Peters? At one time, they were the biggest producers in Hollywood. They're major, major, major Hollywood figures. So I guess that gives her a little credibility. Hey, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. 800-321-0710. Primaries yesterday. A lot of, the big thing around here is Connecticut. The governor's race. Connecticut has been destroyed by the worst governor. Hey, New Jersey, we'd like to help you out, but I think there's a difference here. New Jersey, I don't think you can save it. How many different governors have you tried in New Jersey? You've tried everything. Democrats, Republicans, men, women, tall people, short people, fat people, skinny people. No governor can fix anything in New Jersey. But Connecticut, it's different. It's savable. It's worked before. It used to have a great economy. It was totally destroyed by nice guy, Daniel Malloy, but the worst governor ever. So we're looking for a replacement. Now you're going to have, you had the primaries yesterday. You had Stefanowski, kind of a dull guy, but he had the best economic plan. He's got the plan that'll turn around Connecticut. Art Laffer, the great Reagan economist, put it together. Larry Kudlow, I talked to him. He said it's a good plan. So Stefanowski's the guy. He's the Republican. He'll be running against Ned Lamont. You've heard that name before because he runs for everything in Connecticut. Senator, dog catcher, governor, whatever's anything. But he always loses. And the thing in Connecticut, all these candidates, they're always wealthy guys that made a lot of money. Take a look. Here's Lamont. Here he's going to be the Democratic candidate. Take a listen.
We get to party a little bit responsibly. And tomorrow it starts again. Tomorrow it starts again because we're on our way. We're on our way to November. We're going to win. And we're going to go all the way and turn the state around.
All right, lots of personality there, but maybe a little too much personality, maybe a little too cute. Again, he always loses every race.
Our party is united, we're focused, we know what we got to do, we're going forward, and we're going to win.
All right, little pushy there. It's a little Terry McAuliffe-ish, if you know what I mean. Now, on the other hand, you got Stefanowski. He's the guy with the great plan, the great tax plan, fix the economy. However, a little dull, a little boring, not much personality.
Our great state simply cannot afford a continuation of Dan Malloy's horrible economic policy with Ned Lamont.
No way! All right. You hear what I'm talking about? This is the victory speech. Okay, it's not a lot of personality. You're going to have this.
We get to party a little bit responsibly.
You're going to have that guy versus this droning.
Our great state simply cannot afford a continuation of Dan Malloy's horrible economic.
All right, but Stefanowski's the better guy, better tax plan. But can you think of a case where the dull guy beats the guy with all the personality? I don't know. I'd have to think about that. Well, Bloomberg, that's a good example. Mark Green had a lot more personality, a lot more flair to him. Bloomberg was the dull guy. But that was Giuliani backing him and pushing him. So I don't know. This is tough. The dull guy's the right guy. But the lively, fun guy. And well, we'll see what happens. Anyway, check out the webpage. There's some great stuff up there today. We had Tamara Holder on before. She had one of the best fights on television ever with Omarosa. Omarosa got into great fights on The Apprentice, on the Bethany Frankel show. But watch this. It's Maria Bartiromo, the most somber, sober, classy show. And Omarosa starts going after Tamara. There's a really ugly moment. Take a look at it. We got that up on the webpage. Also, you'll love this. This is Donald Trump versus CNN. It's the ultimate battle. It's Trump versus CNN on Monday Night Raw. Take a look at this clip. Hey, also, this is amazing to watch now. You could never get away with this in today's world. Back in the 50s and 60s, every kid played with toy guns. Watch these commercials for guns for kids. These were very popular commercials. You'd be arrested, boycotted immediately today if you ran a commercial like this. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone. 10 till noon.
Rush Limbaugh. Noon till 3.
Sean Hannity. 3 till 6.
All on the radio home of the Mets. 710WOR.
Mark Simone.
On the voice of New York.
710WOR.
Hey, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. 800-321-0710. Look at that outside. It's beautiful. The sun is shining. Not that humid. But this has not been a great summer. You get a week of rain, a week of brutal humidity. Yeah, you get 1 or 2 days that are nice like this, and then that's it. Same thing here. You're going to get to today, tomorrow, and then back to rain on Friday. 800-321-0710 is the number. You may have heard this story. The FBI, starting a day or two ago, has issued warnings to all the major banks. They're worried about a Russian attack on ATMs. There's some way that the Russians could get into the ATMs, and I don't know if they mean shut them down, or there was an attack, a smaller one years ago, where they got into the ATMs and took money out of people's accounts. So just be aware of that. The FBI actually warning banks. So that means they've seen some real chatter there about this ATM attack, which could shut down the ATM system. So you might want to keep some cash on hand. And there's also talk about this Russian satellite. There's a lot of satellites up there, Russian satellites, American satellites. But there's a Russian one that's acting a little peculiar, and our government now keeping an eye on it. A lot of things can happen with a satellite. It could be used to interfere with other satellites, interfere with something. Who knows what all this means? But those Russians, they're all over the place there. And, you know, the one thing they seem to be great at is disrupting, hacking, the Russian hackers. You'd think with all these technical geniuses that can figure out how to hack into anything, they would develop a tech industry in Russia. It's the one thing they don't really have. We're the kings of that. China comes up with some things. Israel is great with tech and developing stuff. But if you got those hackers and all those brains there, put it to good use. Invent something, come up with something, and make billions with it. Let's go to Mike in New York City. Hey, Mike.
Good morning, or what? It's still morning. Listen, I would like to nominate Donald Trump as the new acting pope in Rome. This child molestation has to stop. It's disgusting. And only the Donald could do it.
Well, I don't know about that. You know, this child molestation, this case in Pennsylvania is so hideous, so ugly. 300 kids sexually attacked, raped, all kinds of ugly stuff. It involves 1,000 priests. Just as sickening, it involves the top of the church in Pennsylvania who went to great lengths to hide this stuff, to cover this up stuff. Everybody involved should be arrested, should be in jail. But as far as cleaning it up, I'd love to say Donald Trump could do it, but look at the Justice Department, Strzok, Page, Comey, McCabe. Why aren't they on trial right now? Why isn't there a special counsel on their ass? Why aren't they being arrested? So look at this Justice Department, Rosenstein, Sessions. Trump has not been great at cleaning this up, at cleaning up the corruption there, or getting rid of that mess. Now, there's some people saying, wait till after the midterms. Everything will be different after the midterms. But who knows? You know, Democrats could win the House. Who knows if things will be that different? But it's a problem in all the great institutions where this corruption spreads. Nothing's done about it. There's no mass cleaning house anymore. Got to get back to that. Hey, here in New York, Mayor de Blasio, you know, his little plan there, the cap on Uber. Going to limit the number of Uber cars to what they are right now. Actually, doesn't kick in until Tuesday. So what's going on right now is there are lines around the block, miles long, lines and lines and lines of drivers quickly trying to register with Uber. So the idea was to stop the number of Uber cars, but probably you'll have 10, 15,000 register over the weekend just to get in before the deadline. Let's go to Bob in New Jersey. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Mark, how you doing? Real quick. Hey, longtime listener. I used to listen to the Simone phone. I think I saw you back at the Rodney Dangerfield years ago.
Dangerfield. Oh, my God. What do you want to say, yeah, Bob?
But anyway, real quick. This Don Lemon, last night, he was trying to convince his panel that Trump's use of the word dog in that community, in the street community, that's a racist comment. Can you believe that?
Well, listen, that's Don Lemon is a race baiter. You know, that's what he does. It's hate Trump all the time on that network. People have checked the tweets to see all the times Donald Trump has called somebody a dog. And it's a long list, believe it or not. It's a very long list. He does that all the time on Twitter. And the list is 99.9% white males that he's called dogs. Romney's on the list, Ted Cruz, Glenn Beck, Chuck Todd. He's used that phrase very often. And the what was the other one he called her? A lowlife. Hey, if you can't call Omarosa a lowlife, you might as well take the phrase out of the language. I mean, if she doesn't qualify, who would? Hey, when we come back, one of the smartest guys around, Jake Novak, brilliant on business, news, all that stuff. But we'll get to, this is pretty interesting, who's buying what, which tech stocks you should own. And there was a slight rise in retail sales. Why would that be? We'll see if we can figure all this out and some other matters coming up in just a moment on 710 WOR. Let's get to all the latest news. Here's Mike Bauer.
Thank you, Mark.
Listen to what you missed whenever you want. It's Mark Simone on demand. Catch his podcasts at 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
On 710 WOR.
Well, we turn now to one of the smartest guys around, Jake Novak, a great columnist. You should follow him on Twitter, Jake Novak Twitter. You should go to his website, jakenovaknews.com, jakenovaknews.com, and sign up there for the daily updates. Jake Novak, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for the lovely intro.
Hey, retail sales up. I thought all these stores were dying. What would make it go up?
Well, you know, they're also buying on Amazon. But no, the stores are actually doing a little bit better. Macy's, for example, announced today better profits and better sales than expected. Now, they're not doing as well in the department store. Some of those are online sales, so they're going to have to adjust to that. But still, it's sales, and that's a big number that I don't think that a lot of people are paying enough attention to right now. Buying at regular retailers, not just Amazon, that was an encouraging sign this morning.
Yeah, so that's interesting. But you got less and less stores, and a lot of these chains have closed a lot of stores. So is that helping fewer stores, more same-store sales?
Yeah, you know, I mean, remember when the dot-com bomb happened and it just turned out that there were just really 5, 10, maybe 20 big dot-com companies that were going to make it?
Yeah.
You know, we're kind of having that in reverse now with the retail stores. You know, we're going to see which retail chains really have what it takes to go the distance. And believe it or not, Macy's might be one. They seem to have done pretty well with their online offerings and things like that. I don't think all of them are going to make it, and the Macy's is going to be a much smaller thing than what we're used to. But, yeah, I mean, they are showing that. So we're seeing that in reverse. But, again, you have to have a good online presence, and you have to be smart enough to know where Amazon is undercutting you and where you can do a better job than Amazon, and that's not easy.
Hey, but you know what's interesting? If you buy something online, like Saks has a great online site. Macy's has a great. But if you buy something there, you will then get 27 emails a day from them every day of the week. Isn't that what drove people out of the stores? Why don't they just think, maybe, hey, one email a day is all we need?
Yeah, you know, email marketing feels like, boy, things move so much quicker now. Email marketing really feels like something from another generation. It's old. It's not really the best way to reach people. Reach me on my social media feed. If you can find a way to put something pretty smart on my Facebook or Twitter feed, that's a smarter way.
Yeah.
Or find some other way to get my attention. Honestly, I'm so glad I'm not in the advertising business. I think that it's a really, really tough business. I think that from now on, the best way to get people is to find things like product placement in movies and in the news. And in television shows, I think that's the best way. But a clunky number of emails really feels like something very, it seems so 1998.
Yeah. Hey, now let me ask you, Jake Novak. Some very smart guy said, I'm selling my Apple. That's enough. It's like at an all-time high. But I'm looking. Warren Buffett just bought more Apple. George Soros, love him or hate him, he's a good investor. He just bought more Apple. So there's room for growth there?
Yeah, there's room for growth because Apple, I think, is really encouraging me in the way that they're looking at new and different things. We know that they're looking at healthcare very, very closely. And to me, the key with healthcare is not going to be necessarily a new device. It's not going to be like some kind of machine that comes into your that you buy and takes your blood pressure and gives you an injection or something. It's going to be in the way that it monitors your health, your vital signs and things like that, and gives a reliable, because we know hospitals and doctors can sometimes be overwhelmed, but a reliable set of information to doctors and hospitals and saves billions and billions of dollars on checkups and visits that you may not have to have. You always have to have one, but, you know, listen, if you're dealing with a chronic condition and you have to go to the doctor twice a week and maybe you don't have to do that anymore, I think that's a big opportunity. And everyone's trying to get into that. Apple, Amazon, everyone is trying to get into that. And the other thing, of course, is the self-driving cars and the transportation. To me, those are two things. And the fact that Apple is just looking at this kind of stuff, maybe they won't be the ones who bring that product, but they'll be partnered with it. For example, if another company does it, they're going to want to partner with Apple in some way on that. So I like where they're positioned. I don't know if you buy them like crazy now because they do, you know, they did just, you know, hit some of these highs. But if you're somebody like Warren Buffett and George Soros is looking at the longer, you know, the longer haul, then why not?
Yeah. Hey, the self-driving car, I know it sounds great, but that's going to be a nightmare for years of insurance problems, all kinds of difficulties. That's years away, isn't it?
Well, you know what? That is the thing about the self-driving car that I really like, and I've talked to you about this before, is that people who are disabled, elderly people who cannot rely on public transportation, even in a big public transportation hub like New York City, where we know we have a lot of options, ask people who deal with AccessoRide or some of these other programs that help them. It's terrible. So if a self-driving car cuts into that, that's what I like. Here's what I don't like, Mark. For everyone who thinks that self-driving cars are going to stop our traffic problems or the gridlock, they're just plain wrong. Our gridlock is because we have too many people going to one place at one time, and it's just a bottleneck. We need to fix that. So if all the cars are self-driving, that's not going to solve that problem. So that actually might hold up some of the funding because a lot of people are investing in this with this misbegotten notion that, oh, this will help ease traffic. That's not what it's going to do. What it's going to do is give people a little bit more accessibility, but we still need to fix our infrastructure problems. And the biggest infrastructure problem we have is even if all the roads and the bridges are great, we still live too far away from the job centers, and we need to figure that out. And, you know, I always talk about this, too. Start building more housing and stop all this NIMBYism, you know, these fancy neighborhoods that are so, you know, they say they love the homeless and they love the poor. Ask them to build another building in their neighborhood and slightly change their view, and they'll fight you till, you know, to their dying day.
Yeah. Hey, but with all the digital and people working from home and less people having to go to work, why do we have more and more traffic? You'd think more people are staying home.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, we could work at home, and there are some people who can get away with it. Remember Yahoo? With Marissa Meyer. Yahoo for years was letting more and more people work at home. And then Marissa Meyer, you know, came in there as a CEO and she got rid of work from home, even though she was trying to do that when she was having kids. It was a crazy situation. It seemed like some people were abusing it. They were not really working when they were at home. Surprise, surprise. So there has to be, but you know, that's another case where technology, I think, can fix it. If we can find a way to technologically prove that you're actually working when you are at home, then, you know, and not fishing or watching the Golf Channel or whatever you're doing, then I think that we'll be there. And to me, that's a much more realistic result for this. I think a lot of companies are going to be like, you know what, I don't want to buy this office space. And another thing that's happened, and I talked about this last time, the unlimited data plans that some of these cell servers are providing, like service providers like Sprint and stuff, that's going to make it much more attractive for companies to say, I don't need people to come into the office. If I can give my worker a cell phone with an unlimited data plan that doesn't cost me any more, no matter how much he or she is working far away from me, then let's look into this. I think we're going to come to that. Now, that will help the traffic situation much more than self-driving cars.
Yeah. Follow Jake Novak on Twitter. Also, go to JakeNovakNews.com. Hey, let's get back to George Soros. Maybe we hate him, but he's a good investor. And now he's saying he's not buying any more Amazon or Google. What does that mean?
He probably thinks it's topped out. I think he's wrong about that. I think, you know, Amazon, I'm following it because I have to, you know, I made my prediction on the show a few times that they're going to get to a $1 trillion market cap before the end of the fall. So before, you know, I guess December or so is when I'm going to run out of time. They're really close. Yesterday, they were only about $49 billion away. They're a little bit down today, so I guess they're back to closer to $70 billion away. But I think they're going to hit a trillion market share really soon. I don't really have any doubts about Amazon's ability. I get, you know, it's probably a personal thing. And also, you got to be careful with George Soros and the things he invests in. Sometimes he invests in things just to kind of get out when everyone else gets to a certain high. So I call it whale watching. You know, when a big billionaire invests in something, and then a month later, we get to find out what he or she invested in the last 3 months. There are a couple of people who I would follow what they do, follow what Warren Buffett does, maybe, you know, put a little bit of money and even though you don't have as much to lose, he does. George Soros, I'd be worried about because sometimes he's a big bear and he bets on something only to take that bet away very abruptly.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't follow George Soros. And by follow, I mean, take your money and put it where he's putting it. I wouldn't do that with George Soros. And not because I don't like him politically, just because I think he's got a different investment strategy.
Yeah. Hey, why is Warren Buffett buying Delta Airlines? Supposedly you can't make any money in the airline industry, and it's nothing but trouble. What does he see there?
Well, I think he sees fuel prices are going to be – we had Armageddon predicted on fuel prices just a couple of months ago, and we had all the Democrats at gas stations making ridiculous commercials about, oh, Trump is – you know, the sanctions on Iran are going to make your gas prices go back to $4. They're going way down. You know, we didn't quite get to $3 a gallon national average. I know here in New York, we probably saw a couple of stations that still do see a couple of stations at $3 a gallon, but the national average never hit three, and now it's going in the other direction. And today we got crude oil trading at $64. So if you're Warren Buffett, you're thinking, hey, if fuel prices were the biggest problem that these airlines had in the past year or so, they seem to have topped out and going in the right direction. I would invest in them too if I had Warren Buffett's money. Absolutely.
Hey, one more question. Facebook, Amazon, we were talking about this before. All these tech companies have a tremendous advantage. They don't have unions. They don't have a lot of government regulation. What happens if that all changes? What happens if the government steps in and wants to start regulating it more or start to do some antitrust against Amazon? What happens to those stocks?
Well, there'll be some antitrust against Amazon. And with Amazon, the antitrust move, in my opinion, will be to split it in two, which means it'll be an investment opportunity. People will get shares in both of the versions of Amazon when that's split up. That'll be a good thing. As far as like union stuff and things like that, the way that Facebook, they'll fix that problem the same way that all companies do, which is they'll just hire fewer people. I mean, people keep thinking that these government regulations protect workers. What they do is they put a very, very low ceiling on the number of workers any major company ever wants to hire. That's why small business is really the only driver, even in good economic times. Small business is the only driver of hiring in this country. Once you hit major corporate status, Fortune 500 status, you just move jobs around here and there, and you're much more likely to cut jobs because the regulations start to hit you in the face. So if the government comes in with a bunch of labor rules or something like that, then Facebook will just find a way to replace them with robots or find another type of business that isn't so labor intensive. It's so unhelpful when they try to help. You know, again, the old Ronald Reagan joke, I'm from the government, I'm here to help. I can't imagine how many jobs these regulations have killed. They've killed internships. They've done a lot of things that are just not good for America.
Well, interesting as always. And if you want to follow Jake Novak, what is it on Twitter? It's
at JakeJakeNY, the at symbol JakeJakeNY.
JakeJakeNY at Twitter. But go to his website and make sure you sign up for the daily updates. JakeNovakNews.com. JakeNovakNews.com. Jake, always great talking to you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me. Have a great week.
All right, take care. And check out the webpage. We got some good stuff up there. Hey, we had Tamara Holder on before. She once on the air got in one of the ugliest fights with Omarosa. We have the clip up on the webpage. Take a look at it. It's actually pretty funny, but you'll see the real Omarosa and her ugly side in action. And then you'll love this. It's Donald Trump versus CNN. It's the ultimate final battle. Trump versus CNN on Monday Night Raw. Take a look at that clip. Oh, also, back in the 50s and 60s, every kid played with toy guns. Watch these commercials. The toy companies had for guns for kids, toy guns. You could never get away with this today. But these were very popular. Take a look at it now, and it looks so bizarre. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.